Hallelujah. And he's probably got everything smoothed over with his wife, you know. So she beat him up there, you know. So if he made any mistakes while he was waiting to go, he's probably got them all smoothed over now. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. You got to find you a helper, buddy. You're running back and forth up there. I don't know. You might be wasting away to nothing if you keep running. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. You got your Bibles with you? Turn to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 10. I thought we would be out of this shepherding and sheep thing, and I just kept looking around, nosing around, and you know, there's actually three things in here that are the responsibility of the sheep. It's not all about the shepherd, but it has something to do with the sheep. You teach on that Sunday school? Same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, not everybody's here for Sunday school, so amen. But the first thing I want to do is I want to look in John's Gospel chapter 10, and then I want to go to the Hebrew Bible, and I want you to get a good image of the idea that God is your shepherd, amen, and we are the sheep of his flock. Sometimes we get a little uppity and we think we're in charge. How many of you found out that God has a way of turning that back around on you, amen? Okay. John chapter 10. Well, I'm in Matthew 5. That won't be the same. John chapter 10, 1461. We're going to actually start in verse, page 1462. We're going to start in verse 11. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I pray you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Now he's going to qualify what makes a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. A good shepherd will protect the sheep whenever there's wolves and bears and lions. Amen. Remember what David told King Saul? When that bear come and took a lamb, I knocked it out of his mouth and I smote him. And when he tried to get up, I killed him. Same thing with the Lion King. Amen. Well, not Lion King as in the movie, but he's talking about the same thing happened with the lion, King Saul. Okay, he's talking to King Saul. So, and he says, tell Saul, this uncircumcised Philistine, this Goliath, he's not going to be no match for the living God. Amen. And then Jesus says, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. How many know that nobody takes care of your stuff like you do? Amen. Huh? You ever left something in charge of somebody else, you know, and it just didn't get taken care of the way you would have taken care of it, right? Well, that's the way a hireling does. He's not invested in the sheep. He's not willing to give his life for his sheep. Amen. Then verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Well, there's the first thing he says about the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. Amen. Let's keep going. Where did I leave off? 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. Wow. So the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Amen. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now, I want you to go. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, I want you to go to that passage of Scripture we just read for the first time last week, Psalms 23. Or what we call the 23rd Psalm. I want you to see this imagery of God as a shepherd and we as his sheep. Verse 1, page 703. Glory to God. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, Yahweh is my shepherd. Do you have all capital letters there for Lord? That's that most holy name of God. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, let me stop here for a minute. Whenever you get to go to Israel, you're going to see very few places that are green. If it's good enough to be green, they're growing agriculture on it. Amen. They're not pasturing sheep. I'm pretty sure this green pastures might have been added by one of King James' translators. You know, England's got all kinds of green pastures. Amen. But Israel, their grass is brown on the mountains where you see goats and sheep. But what's really interesting is you'll see a shepherd, he'll be going up the mountain, and the sheep will be following him. He won't be looking at him, they'll just be following him, because the sheep follow the shepherd. And then he will lead them to a place where there's grass. It's brown, but it's edible for them. And he'll lead them to that place, and he'll turn around and look at them. When he stops and turns around, they start eating. And then when it's time to go, he'll lead them to water. And they'll follow him. And they know his voice. I told you last week that sometimes in the sheepfolds, there might be more than one flock of sheep. But when the shepherd comes for his flock knows his voice, and they come out. Amen. Amen? All right, now, I want us to go to another place. I want us to go to Ezekiel. That'd be to your right. Go right, young man. You'll jump over Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel 34, page 1094. 1094. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Everybody blessed this morning. Amen. Now I'm going to show you some things that God expects out of his shepherds. Okay? Ezekiel 34, verse 1 says, And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the sheep feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Well, twice in two verses, God says to the shepherds of Israel, you're not feeding the flock. Amen. Remember what Jesus asked Peter after he was resurrected three times? Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Amen. Amen. So a shepherd was to feed the flock. Amen. Then he goes on to verse 4 and he says, the weak you have not strengthened. So a shepherd is to strengthen the weak. And then he says, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty, you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So God's using this metaphor to speak to the wicked shepherds of Israel. Something else he tells me, he says you're to strengthen the flock, you're to heal those who are sick, you're to bound up the broken, and I would add brokenhearted, and God says, and you, a shepherd is to seek the lost. Amen. So these are all the things that God asked out of the shepherds of Israel. Now let's go over to Psalm 77. That'd be back to your left. Psalm 77. Hallelujah. Psalm 77, page 744. We're going to look at verse 20. That's actually 745. Just one verse. God says, You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the Bible says that God led them like a flock, but he used Moses and Aaron to lead them. Amen. So you had, I could plant my flag right here and preach for an hour, but I'm not going to. Maybe next week. But God, the imagery here, what you see is God's leading them. But he used Moses and Aaron to lead the people of Israel. Amen. All right, now look over at chapter 78, verse 52. The word of God says this. In verse 52, but he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Amen. Talking about the Red Sea that swallowed up Pharaoh's enemies. Now, you're in Psalms. Keep going to the right, not very far. Jump over Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and you ought to land right in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll get us a good foundation to leap off of here in just a minute. Isaiah 40. Verse 10. Isaiah 40, page 918. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. So again, we see a metaphor of God leading his people like a shepherd would. In Jeremiah 31:10, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read you what the second part of that verse says. It says, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. There are prophetic passages of Scripture speaking of God gathering Israel back into the land like a shepherd would go out and gather his people. We've been witnesses of that. Because for about the last 125, 30 years, God has been bringing back the Jewish people back to Israel. Amen? Let me explain something to you real quick. Remember, Jesus said that I have other sheep that are not of this fold? Amen. And he said he's going to bring both flocks, make both flocks one. Amen. The sheep he's speaking to are Jews. Amen. The sheep he's speaking about are us Gentiles. Amen. Amen. So he's been gathering Gentiles for 2,000 years since his birth, death, and resurrection, right? But it's only been since the last 125 years that he's been regathering the other flock back into Israel. Amen. Amen. All right. So there are some prophetic verses about God gathering. Now, I want us to get over here. I want us to turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I want to talk to you about what the sheep's responsibility is. The sheep are to know the shepherd. Amen. Amen. In Philippians, I better turn there myself, page 1663. Page 1663. Philippians chapter 3. And let's start in verse 7. Now understand this. Paul is a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul grew up and was taught by the most learned men in Israel. He was taught about the Torah, but he was also taught the rabbinic law. You know, the ones about the fences that they built around the Torah. Okay? They were man-made laws that constricted everybody. It took the joy out of serving God. Like Shabbat, Sabbath. You can only walk so far. You can only do this. You can only do that. So they put so many fences around the Sabbath that it wasn't enjoyable for people. You listen, you walk with God, you should be enjoying every minute with God. Amen? All right, now, let's look. So Paul had a lot to lose by giving up, by giving that up and following Christ. He had a lot to lose. Okay? So here in verse 7 it says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." Paul says, listen, I count all I had on this earth as rubbish in order that I might know him. Not only know him, but Paul says that I may be found in him and in his righteousness. Amen. Glory to God. See, the Bible tells us that your righteousness and my righteousness was as filthy rags. But Jesus was without sin. Amen. He was a righteous man here on the earth. And so when Paul says that, oh man, I want to know him and I want to be found in him and his righteousness, what Paul's talking about is now that Paul has repented and accepted Jesus as Messiah, he's no longer clothed in his righteousness, which was as filthy rags, but now he's clothed in the righteousness of the one who did not sin. Amen. And he says that I may be found in him and his righteousness, that I might experience the power of his resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, as long as I'm clothed, he says, I want to be found in him. What he's talking about is when he stands before the Lord, he wants Yahweh to find him in Messiah's righteousness in order that Paul can experience the power of the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that what we all want? Amen. Amen. We want to know him, but we want to be found in him in order that we might experience the resurrection of the dead when that shout comes and that trumpet blasts and the dead in Christ rise. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me keep going here. You're there in Philippians. I want you to keep your finger in Philippians. All right? I'm going to write something on the board, but I want to read one verse of Scripture found in Psalms 119. You can just let me read it to you. I'm already over there. Psalms 119, verse 66 says this. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." Now, we'll turn back over to Philippians, because we're going to look in chapter 1 here in just a minute. Just a minute. When you talk about knowing God, and of course, you all have heard this scripture enough. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, 25, it says this, "Don't glory in your might, don't glory in your wealth, but glory in the fact that you know and understand me." Amen. Amen. That's what God says is most important. That's what Christianity is about. That's why we got saved in the first place. Now, a lot of us got saved, you know, because hell's a bad option, you know, and heaven's a good option, all right? But the reason God saved us, the reason he incarnated himself in the flesh in his Son, the whole reason was so that you could know him. Amen. And he could know you, amen? And out of that relationship, heaven is part of, amen? All right. There's a couple words in the Bible that you'll find if you look up no, or you look up, for instance, intimacy. Let me show you that one. If you look up intimacy, if you Google intimacy, just put, let's see, Hebrew word for intimacy, this is what's going to pop up. This word right here. Yada. But it's also a word for praise. But we're going to focus on another word today. Another word for the word for knowledge is this word. So this is praise and intimacy. I don't know if there's an E there or not. This other Hebrew word, da'at, is knowledge. You can't see it, but in our vision to have a Bible school, hopefully we've started it on Wednesday night. It don't have to be anything formal. But the name of it, if you see that sign over there, bet or bite, da'at Elohim. Bite or bet is house. Da'at, knowledge, house of the knowledge, Elohim, God, house of the knowledge of God, amen? Not only knowledge that comes from the Bible, but we want to experience that intimate knowledge also, amen? So da'at means knowledge. It also can be used for cunning. It can also be used for discernment. All right. Da'at is used in a personal sense. Okay. For instance, you know God brought you out of a hard time. Okay. You personally have experienced God's delivering power, but it can also be used for like technical knowledge. When God gave them the information or the knowledge to build the tabernacle or the temple, okay? Now let's look what Paul does here. Paul does something I find very, very cool here in, where did I say to go? Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1, and we're going to start here in verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Messiah, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now let's go back to verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. Amen. Paul tags love to our knowledge of God. Here. How many of you know that when you first got married, it was an exciting time? But over the years, as the more years went on and went on, you got to know that person a little more and more. Amen? Amen. And I can tell you right now, you know, I love Debbie more now than I did 27, 28 years ago when we got married. Because we've been through some battles together. not against each other, but we've just been in some battles, just some battles of life. So when you go through those battles, you get stronger. Your love gets stronger. And so as you understand God, and you understand that God has been with you through the battles, through the fight, then your love for God, your intimacy with God is going to reach a higher level. That make any sense? That's why this word yada, even though it can mean no, it's one of the many words for praise. Amen. It's because as I've grown in my knowledge of God, as I'm walking with God, as I've had to fight this battle and that battle, but I know God brought me through, I'm growing in my knowledge of God, and therefore my love for God is getting stronger. So it's not a problem for me to come in and lift my hands and thank Him. Amen. Lift my hands and praise Him. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let me keep going. Let me get over here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, page 808. Page 808. Proverbs chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Talking about wisdom. Her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. I'm going to go back to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths were broken up. Amen. You'll see these three words tied together quite often in the Bible. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Amen? Amen. And I've used this analogy many times because I have so many nurses in my family. But, you know, when a nurse goes to school, or a veterinarian goes to school, they go to classes where they learn knowledge. But then they have to do what's called clinicals. Gracie had to go to a barn somewhere where there's critters, or maybe another vet. She had to do clinicals too, I'm sure. So in the clinicals, you gain understanding of the knowledge that you've gained in the classroom. Amen. Amen. But after 10 years or so of doing that same work, now you're operating in wisdom. Amen. Because you nurses know that some of the stuff they taught you in the classroom, when you got over here to understanding what they taught you in the classroom, it didn't always work out exactly the way it didn't work out once you got to real live patients exactly the way they said it would in the book. Amen. But you learned over the years what works and what doesn't work. Now you're walking in wisdom. Amen. Right? That's the way your relationship with God is. You're studying God, you get born again, you begin to study God's word. You're getting this knowledge of God. But now you're a baby Christian, you're getting knowledge of God. But then at some point you start to grow and mature a little bit, you begin to understand. Amen. Begin to walk in understanding. Amen. Amen? And then pretty soon, as you get older, now you're walking in God's wisdom. Amen. Amen? And you're even giving some of that wisdom out to other younger people. Amen. Amen? So what you're actually doing when you're growing in your knowledge of God, but you should be growing in your intimacy with God. Somebody say amen or oh me. We don't want to be in the same boat 3 years from now as we are right now. Amen. We want to trade that boat in for a bigger boat with better seats and a bigger motor. Amen. One that'll be able to be big enough to carry me, Mike, and Charles David, and John, if he wants to. John and Bernie, they're fishermen. I don't know if Tom fishes or not. You fish, Tom? Not much. All right. Let me show you something else here. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, page 888. Start in verse 2. Glory to God. There's another word here we want to look at. See, when you study God's word and you're growing in your knowledge, now you begin to walk in that knowledge. Now you're walking in understanding when you're being obedient to that word. Amen? So you're letting God begin to change some things in you. Verse 2, Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Now, this word Yara is the Hebrew word for fear. A couple years ago, we did 3 or 4 messages on that. Anybody remember what that word means? Fear of the Lord. Respect. To revere. It means that. But it also, at its root, it means to flow out of. That may be where we got the term, you scared the bejesus out of me. Or you, I mean, seriously, it could have very well been, you know. But it means to flow out of. And in talking about God, what flows out of God? His word, his statutes, his precepts, his command. Amen. Amen. So someone that says they fear God or they fear the Lord is someone, let's look here at what it says real quick. It's the last part of verse 2 says, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and the first part of verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Amen. So his delight is in the word of God. So someone who actually says, I fear the Lord, is someone who has revered God and respects God enough to be obedient to his word. Amen. Hallelujah. See, now you've got knowledge. Now you're walking in understanding. Your obedience is a reflection of your understanding. Amen. All right. Now, that's to know God. We can study his word and we know God. And as we walk with him, we gain understanding and we gain wisdom. So the sheep are to know God. I urge you all, and I know everybody's busy, and I know as you get older, we don't have the energy level we once had. But I urge you all to get on a program where you're reading God's word. Amen. On a regular basis. Read some in the Torah, the first 5 books. I like to read 10 verses in one, and then 10 verses in Psalms or Proverbs, and then 10 verses from the Gospels, and then 10 verses from Paul's letters. You know, those letters. Man, you've already read 40 verses if you do that. You know, if you do that on a daily basis, you'll grow in that knowledge of the shepherd. Now, the second thing he said was this. He said, the sheep hear my voice. Amen. They know the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. I don't have the page for that, but if you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you'll find the book of Acts. I've been trying to write a book for about 2 books Nothing to do me. I had to start too. But one of them, I hit a snag. And on the priest and kings. And John is in that prison at Macarius, which is on the east side of the Jordan River near the Dead Sea. And he's in prison there. And remember, this is John the Baptist, the one that came out of the wilderness saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." Amen. And then when the Pharisees came, he scolds them. "Oh, you brood of vipers," he calls them. And he's slapping them around. And then he says, "I baptize with water unto repentance, but one's coming after me that's going to baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost." So John comes barreling out of the wilderness, and he's preaching about Jesus. And now all of a sudden he finds himself in prison because he made the king's wife mad, Agrippa's wife mad, and because she was actually married to somebody else, and he calls her out on it. Amen. You know, and so now he's in prison and he's about to be beheaded. And so in my book, I stopped there. It took me a long time to get to that point, but once I got to that point, I had to stop there because I'm wondering, what is it that John is thinking about the Messiah? What causes him to know this Jesus is the Mashiach, but now all of a sudden, now that he's in prison, he's beginning to doubt who he is? And so I was researching this week, and for a long time, probably 15, 20 years ago, there's a lot of scholars, Bible scholars, that believe John was raised by the Essenes. Have you ever heard of the Essenes? The Essenes left Jerusalem, prior to Jesus being born, maybe 50, 60 years. And they went down to Qumran, which is near the Dead Sea. Have you ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Amen. They wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And in one of the scrolls, and they were a ascetic group. They dressed in white. They read the Word of God. They worked as a community. They wrote the Word of God. They were very much a group that was committed to God. But they wrote one scroll called the War Scroll. And it was about the time of the end. You know, when a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, a priest king would come and would deliver Israel from all of her enemies and reestablish the kingdom of Israel here on the earth. Well, John knew Jesus was that Messiah, but now his circumstances has caused him to doubt. You ever been there? Don't be down on old John too hard here, okay? And this is not the John that wrote the Gospel of John. This is a different. This is John the Baptist. So he's doubting, but see, he's doubting because if he's raised by the Essenes, he's fully expecting a priest king like Melchizedek that's going to deliver them from this Roman oppression. And now he's in prison. He's thinking, "Man, I'm in prison. I don't think this is going to go well for me. I'm hoping this Jesus will get this thing on." See, he's in a bind. How many of you been there? "Come on, Jesus. Come on, God, I need you now." And we want him now. And we've all learned the hard way. He has his own clock. And it doesn't run as fast as ours. Have you noticed that? But he's good all the time. Amen. So if John believes that, no wonder he's asking the question. And so the disciples are asking the same question here in Acts chapter 1. Let's pick it up in verse 4. "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what John's wanting in that prison at Macarius. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which are the Father's, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus says you need to be endued with power so that you can be my witness. But I want to take that just a step further. Turn with me to John. Go just to your left, not too far, page 1470. John chapter 14, verse 15. I want you to see this. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus saying, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to pray to the Father. He's going to send you a helper. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. So Jesus says, listen, guys, you need to be endued with power. Now, he's already taught him, when I go, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send someone, a helper, a teacher of truth. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Now, why would he say that? Well, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I don't know what page. I didn't write that one down. Page 1561. Keep in mind, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Now, we've made the case that the sheep need to know God, but now we're making the case that the sheep know his voice. Now, look here in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Remember, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You're going to be adopted. Because I'm going to send the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. I will submit to you this morning that you can hear the voice of God much clearer when you're endued with the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Are you saying you can't hear the voice of God? Nope, not at all, because sinners that are sinners, they only come to Jesus when the Father, by his Spirit, woos them and draws them. Amen. But I'm just going to say, I think you can hear much clearer. And see, I need to know this. I need to hear this. Because there are times in my life, and maybe you've never been there, there's times in my life I need to be reminded of who I am, that I am a child of the Most High God. Amen. Teresa said one time, she's having a rough day, she said, I'm just going to straighten my crown and be that child of God that I am. Amen. That, she don't know, but that picked me up that morning. Glory to God. Amen. See, every now and then we need to know who we are. Remember who we are and hear his voice. We're his sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. We don't belong to anybody else. Amen. We belong to God. The Republicans, the Democrats, them folks don't have control over you. You're part of the flock of God. Amen. They can pass laws that affect us, but you know what? We don't belong to them. We belong to God. Glory to God. And the third thing the sheep do, are you with me? The third thing they do is they follow the shepherd. They know him, they hear his voice, and they follow him. Why is it important to follow the shepherd? Because when they follow the shepherd, he protects them. when they follow the shepherd, they walk in his provisions. Amen. Glory to God. So he is our shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for us. But our responsibility is to know him, to hear his voice, and to follow. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can somebody holler at Deb down there, Lori? Can you do that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, she could probably hear me if I hollered down on that. Bernie, you and John want to help me? I've been using these ladies a lot. I better use a couple of you guys. Got that one? Got that one? All right. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Everybody got your bread. Represents the body of Jesus, the broken body of Jesus. Remember when Jesus, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. It was very symbolic that his body was about to be broken. Amen. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that at Calvary you gave your life for us. That as the wisdom of God, you came as a man, binding yourself to us and taking the penalty of our sin upon you, that we may know you and that we may be found in your righteousness. Lord Jesus, this morning or this afternoon, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Are you ready on three? One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Life is in the blood. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you poured out your life at Calvary in order that we could have that life. Lord Jesus, we know that this cup also represents that fourth cup at the betrothal ceremony, the one that you won't drink until you come back as our bridegroom. But as your bride, we take this cup this morning. It is a reminder to us that we are to remain faithful until you come. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And it's in remembrance of you that we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. To be honest with you, I don't really know how much money I've taken in for the stove. When people gave it to me, I put it in a bank thing and put it in my safe. So somebody else gave me money this morning, so I'll go home and add it up. But I'm pretty sure we're there. I can't really remember. So if you wrote a check and you haven't seen that thing go through, it's because that check's in that bank envelope. What was the bank called before it was PNC? National City Bank. I got an old National City Bank envelope in the safe. So, huh? No, it changed to PNC. There's City National, but that's different. Yeah. Y'all blessed today? Once again, we just want to thank you for all your love that you showed Deb and her family. I wouldn't trade you all for a church of 200, you know? I'm serious. I've been offered bigger churches. I ain't going nowhere, you know? Amen? Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, be with these your people this week, Lord God. Give us someone that we can witness to about the goodness and the mercy of the God we serve. And we give you glory and honor and praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We will have class Wednesday. Look forward to seeing you then. I'm hoping to zip through the rest of the book of Revelations.